All my life, I've lived by a code. And the code is simple. Honor the gods, love your woman, and defend your country.
All right, this is Europa Weekly, the new European podcast for the TRS network, the European alt-right. Yep. With me, Pete.
Hey.
Pusher.
Hey.
And Barbut.
Hi.
All right, and the question is, what do we call ourselves? We can't be the Death Panel, can't be the Joint Chief of Staffs. Do we want to have a name for a little group here?
No. Definitely not. We do not need a group. We're not going to ever be the Daily Shoa. Just saying, we're never ever going to be that. All we're going to be able to do is to give people a European perspective on things. And we do not need special names. We're already special. We're Europeans. Dude.
We are inherently special. I just like the idea, you know. Welcome on the European Commission.
fine.
That's probably bad. Okay.
Well, maybe Norway can have this special exemption from actually joining the European Commission, but they can still come in and talk because they're special because, you know, reasons.
Almost forgetting here, but we haven't said where we're from and that we actually are European. We just said our names.
See, we're professionals.
Professionals. Arminius, you start.
Right. Well, I go by the name Arminius. I'm from Germany, and you know, I've come into the alt-right through discovering Paul, obviously, and then from there on TRS. And I was very motivated to start a podcast for Europe, as that is currently lacking for, you know, on the network and just generally.
That's true. This is Pete. I've been around for a while. I've already ruined one podcast, so this is my second attempt at ruining another podcast. But I'm half Norwegian, half American, so I'm like a meme. I'm in between. But
a mystery meat
Norwegian. Lived in Norway my entire life, though. So yeah, I figure myself to be Norwegian enough, at least
spiritual Norwegian.
Yeah, spiritually Norwegian.
Right, Pusher.
Okay, so I'm Pusher. I'm French. I'm a student. I'm in my mid-20s, and I was contacted by Arminius to get involved in the podcast thing. So I'm going to try to bring news from friends from the big blue blob. Yep.
Very nice.
Oh, the terror of the big blue blob.
I haven't actually played that game, but it's supposedly very annoying to fight France in Europa Universalis.
Yes, but that's a tangent for an entire episode that we can dedicate to that.
Yes. And I am Barbut. I'm of the great, glorious Khanate of Finland. I'm in my mid-20s, and I suppose you could call me a run-of-the-mill reactionary.
And also the Finnish person with the least amount of Finnish accent in his English.
That might be.
Good choice.
Sound like a fictional British person, but I'm so apolitical in many ways. I can't even into it. All I know is that porn and fapping is bad, and people need to stop watching porn. That's my political opinion.
Yeah, you're just the spiritual leader of Norway.
No,
like I'm just Pete Khomeini.
I'm just the no-fap representative.
The no-fap police.
Yeah, no fap.
No video games.
No video games, no anime, no pornography, no fun. Fun is not allowed. That's pretty much how it works. Fun is degenerate, and everybody knows it.
Then I guess we get into the topic for this episode. This episode is called European Salt Mining. We have prepared. We thought, you know, we open it up with some lighthearted talk about the European reaction to Donald Trump, the God Emperor, taking the office or becoming president-elect. So who wants to start?
I don't mind starting. So I picked three different articles from the French press, which were written the day after the result of the election because I wanted fresh tears. So the first article I picked was from Le Monde, so which is supposed to be a very, very serious, very, very good newspaper. And the article, oh yeah, I should mention, by the way, that all the translations are done by me, of course. So the title of the first article was Anger Has Prevailed. And so I picked this article because it was typical. The way they present the narrative of Trump winning, I think, was very interesting. So I have a few short excerpts that I can read, and then maybe you can talk about the narrative behind it. So the way it introduces the article is quite great, so I'm going to read it. So, anger has prevailed, fuming rage has won. A billionaire of dubious character who hasn't paid his taxes in 20 years, who lies through his teeth, who openly flirts with racism, xenophobia, and sexism, and who has never been elected or exercised any public mandate, managed to channel it. And he did so masterfully. The Republican Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States and will take possession of the White House in January. So I picked this excerpt because there is all the usual liberal buzzwords about Trump. So, which is interesting because we often hear this narrative on the right that one of the reasons Trump got elected is because people were tired of the liberal thought police. And even when they lose, they cannot help themselves. They have to still go with the racist, xenophobia, and sexism thing. So that was the interesting part about it. And then they go to basically say that to frame Trump as an incompetent idiot, whereas Obama was one of the greatest presidents of the United States. Yeah, I mean,
it's so great when the leader of the white Western world is a dark-skinned baboon.
A baboon. Yeah.
I always like the title Obongo. Like, it just makes me giggle every time.
Yeah, I think really think it needs the prefix king.
King Obongo. I don't know. I like Obongo because it just feels like it's Obama, but it's also kind of monkeyish, which is funny. I don't know. Maybe which my humor is bad.
What's the French question?
We know that you hate fun.
sorry, the French.
Sorry. Okay, what's the French word for a dark-skinned person?
We have several words, I guess. You could use the adjective basané, which is very pejorative, even though it used to be in a mundane word. It means you have dark skin. And then we have a plethora of racist adjectives and whatnot. So, I mean, you could write an entire book without using, you know, the same racist word in French, which is quite great, I think. So the second excerpt I picked was how they analyzed Trump's victory. So they go and they say this. Trump chose three scapegoats, immigrants, free trade, and the elite. He also managed to tap into the deep discomfort of the white American population, which could very quickly lose the majority against the aggregate of ethnic minorities. Unfortunately for her, Mrs. Clinton embodied the essence of the traditional political elite in America. Rightly or wrongly, she carried with her the image of the status quo, even though she had the only feasible and solid program. So, I think this excerpt is quite great because they're so close, yet they're so far. I mean, they correctly identify that there is a racial component and that the white Americans are at risk. But even then, they refuse to acknowledge it as a legitimate cause for concern. And to them, it's just, you know, the American people were not smart enough to vote for Hillary. It's basically what they're saying.
I'm surprised that they were even allowed to print that. That someone's even allowed to actually mention that, hey, they're going to become a minority. And just pointing to that fact and talking about white dispossession, I thought this was totally off limits, but I suppose I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. In one of my articles later on, it will also mention this fact, and it will also mention what you just said, Pushart, about the education thing. Like, this is like something I saw in the German media a lot come up, is that like Trump won because like stupid people is more stupid than smart people. So apparently all the stupid people voted for Trump. And that's how he won.
Isn't the narrative that, well, white dispossession is a thing, but you shouldn't really care about it because it's not really that important. Isn't that often?
Because you're right. Yeah, because you're racist anyway.
Yeah, you're a racist, whatnot, and it's like, well, they believe it to be important, but they're obviously stupid. So you know, they're wrong. That's about the sum of their arguments.
It's good when the whites die out.
Yeah, you know, then we can finally have equality again.
Yeah, I mean, the leftist narrative is always shifting, isn't it? I mean, if you discuss with the basic bitch leftist, you will tell him that whites are going to become a minority in their own countries. He will first tell you that it's not true, and it's a right-wing hoax. But once you prove it to him that it's going to happen, then it does exist, and it's good that it exists. So, it's, you know, they're always moving the goalpost and telling you you're on the wrong side of history.
Yeah, it's either good or it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, I'm colorblind. It doesn't matter. I can't see the difference between an eggnog and a white person. White person.
I don't mind if I live around the niggas.
Yes.
When,
and
they
then,
don't live around them.
Then, yeah, but course, when they do, then, oops.
What happens is that if a right-wing populist wins, they're going to move to an even whiter country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they claim, I mean, I don't think any of them, all of these actors and celebrities in America who've pledged that they would move out, I don't think any of them have followed through. Not that I was expecting them to follow through, but...
Well, of course, they've all backpedaled.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, they already live in white communities, right? I just assume this, that they all live in some kind of sheltered white community.
Well, I don't know if they live in exactly white communities, but they live in, like, upper-class gated
communities. Yeah, at least, like, a fully white-presenting community. Like, there's no gangbangers on the corner.
None at all.
Yeah, I mean, when the average Hollywood actor talks about diversity, his own experience of diversity is, you know, shooting a movie with Will Smith, maybe. That's it. So,
dude, that would be so much fun, having some funny nigger come around, like, making jokes at you and, like, ha-ha-ha. And it would be so cool. I don't believe that, but that's kind of what they believe. So,
Yeah, black people are all like Dave Chappelle. He's funny.
So should I keep going or should we switch between people? Because it may be boring if I had to read the three articles.
No. I think we have enough time to just power through.
Okay, let's go with that. So the article goes on next about how this election should be considered a signal for the democracies in the West, because it would be a proof, according to the journalist, that democracy in general, liberal democracy, is in danger. And so he points out to the Brexit event, and if you're able to read between the lines in the article, he's basically equating the Trump phenomenon with Brexit, the National Front in France, and the FPÖ in Austria. So to them, there is... You know, there is a specter haunting Europe, and this specter is nationalism. And the way they analyze it is they say that Trump happened because, I mean, Trump happened and the media was completely unable to foresee it. And he says that the press, for instance, is absolutely unable to gauge public opinion. And so he goes on to this liberal narrative, which I've seen in many articles, which... People from the media will blame the media, saying how because they were unable to understand the phenomenon, how they were disconnected, they caused the Trump phenomenon. And the underlying narrative, of course, is that if the media were to do their job competently, then the status quo would still be around, and we would be lucky to have Hillary Clinton as the president of the United States. So even when they are rightfully pointing to the dysfunctional media, they still have this underlying assumption that they are working for the force of good, and that it's only a mistake of history if Trump gets elected. If it happens, it's just a mystery and it would be a mistake. So that's the big narrative I found.
Yeah, I do see... Oh, go on.
No, you first do first.
I do see this also repeated in German newspapers where it's like, okay... The media didn't predict this. So this means this is like an outlying special case. Like, oh, it's almost random that this happened. Like, oh, can't believe everybody's shocked because the polls had Clinton winning by 13 points or something. I mean, we all know that it's because the Poles were disingenuous, right? The media was disingenuous. Maybe they were high on their own supply. I'm sure that some of them are. But
most of the journalists are true believers. There's just no way around that. They really do believe that everybody's equal. And of course, the reason they can believe that is because they're not confronted with it, and they're always signaling and reinforcing the narrative. But they are true believers. They genuinely believe their own shit.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in regards to the election coverage, right? Like, one week before the election, saying Hillary is up, like, in winning, and then Trump wins in a landslide, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we were all a little bit surprised, but when historians look back on this election, it will be very obvious to them that this was a lock-in for Trump. I mean, he won with, 306 electoral votes? It's quite the landslide. So
it's pretty funny because, like, the media had to have been designed to trick the populace, not to trick itself, but it does seem like they really were able to trick themselves, which goes to show how effective they've become.
Yeah, but they were not able to trick the population, which is
true. Everybody who watched the media was tricked. The fact is that a lot of people have been tuning out of the media because they know that it's bullshit. But the liberals, they still think that, you know, something weird happened and it was completely unforeseeable. I live with two liberals right now, and they've both been so salty, so sad, and they have been swearing that there was no way to foresee this, and that Nate Silver did everything that he could, and he did nothing wrong, and that everything
Nate
was... and that, you know, all these smart people could not be wrong. Oh, it's...
Yeah, and that gives it a lot of credence for something else that I've seen, you know, hashtag audit the vote on Twitter, people calling for someone to look into what's been rigged and what's not. Because, I mean, if you believe that Hillary's, you know, if you believe the polls and they have Hillary up by a couple of points before the election, then it's a landslide for Trump. You know, you might, you know, I can see why you have some doubts about the legitimacy.
Yep. It was pretty funny. I'm living with two liberals, as I just said, and before the election, it's this complete tangent, but I think it's funny, or at least it was funny to me, but it might be horribly boring to listen to. But they, at least one of them, was really, really smug before the election. He was looking at the polls saying that, oh, so it looks like Hillary's got a really good chance of winning there. And I was like, well, you know, I think the polls are they're biased. And he's like, no. What's it called? 53 and me? No, 53 and something. They're pretty scientifically accurate. And I really didn't want to engage, right? I just thought, oh, shit, this guy is a complete idiot. And I remember we were sitting there on election night. I was watching it on my laptop. He was watching it on a TV in the living room. And like for the first hour, I was like, this is pretty sad. And then when it starts flipping, I go down and I see, and he's just sitting there looking completely dead-eyed at the TV, and I'm like, and then I just wander around the house completely drunk on my own happiness. I really wanted to do the I told you so dance, but when he finally came out of the living room, he just said, no, can't talk about it, and then he went to bed. He did not want to talk about it.
So oh, man.
He was shell-shocked.
He was very salty.
He was extremely salty. It was beautiful.
It's kind of like the Young Turks election coverage that was the best of Young Turks election night is soothing to watch.
Yeah, that 20-minute video of them is breaking down essentially with Chink Wiggle being just on near collapse at the end.
Yeah, it's funny how they have all this moral indignation. How, oh, we're going to fight the Democratic Party and we're going to fight the corporate donors, and we're really sad that Hillary Clinton lost the election.
He said, like, Elizabeth Warren is going to challenge Trump in 4 years. It's like, what are you talking about? All right.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to mention something, because we were talking about how journalists have managed to delude themselves into believing their own bullshit. And I think it comes from the fact that current journalists, they belong to the low church of liberalism. I mean, they're just believers. They really took these kind of jobs because they believe in their own this big cause, this big dream of the the happening of the egalitarian kingdom. But I think the high church, the donors, the corporation, and the people who own these newspapers in general, I think they are fully aware of how in danger they are. I mean, I think these people knew they were not safe from a Trump victory, whereas the low church of believers, they really thought that nobody could stop them. They would win now until the end of times, I think so.
Some of them maybe, but then again, weren't there some companies that decided or declared that they're going to fire anyone who voted Trump or something like that? People were like companies, not people, but companies were signaling against Trump hardcore and seemingly without any kind of sense of self-preservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think of what Pete said earlier rings true here about, you know, they do get high on their own supply when it comes to their own narrative with the, you know, everything that they're being told from their prestigious elites, right? I mean, how could John Oliver be wrong? He's on TV, right?
Yeah, and it's the current
year. He's on TV. He's making people laugh. There's a laugh track. He's apparently a funny man.
Yeah, so, comedians can't be wrong for some reason. So.
Yeah, they worship John Oliver and John Stewart. Ugh.
No.
Stewart, I mean, I'm sure you mean Leibowitz.
Leibowitz. foul fucker.
You don't own nothing, guy.
Okay, so going to the second article, which I found on a website called Rue 89, which translates as Street 89, which is a basic shitlib publication. And the title of the article is Donald Trump as President of the United States Overcoming the Dizziness. And it was written by Daniel Schneiderman, so feel free to add any echo in post-production. A little bit about the journalist. So he's very well known in France. He has a big reputation. He is 58. He is a former communist student. He has been a journalist his whole life. And during the Kosovo War, he sided heavily with the Kosovar independentists against the Serb, obviously. So the reason I chose this article is because of the first part, mainly because it goes into the whole liberal psychology of how they try to justify everything with feelings. So the first excerpt I chose goes like this. As a journalist, as a long-time left-wing voter, as someone who rides a Vélib, so a Vélib is the public service which provides bikes in the city of Paris, as someone who rides a Vélib when no scooter is available, as someone who lives in the capital city of a large and developed European country, I cannot help but feel scared of Trump's rise to power, which the global media showed me and that we described at length on this website. So I thought it was an interesting commentary because it goes into the whole let's be scared together to fight fear, which is something liberals are very, very fond of doing, where they always frame themselves as fighting against fear, but they always have to justify it because if Trump's win, you have good reasons to be scared, which is something that was seen on social media in the United States, for example, with all these fake stories. You know, where I have a Muslim friend who got stabbed by a Trump supporter and whatnot.
Yeah.
So he goes into this whole inversion of roles where even though he's a well-established journalist for a well-established publication, he has to present himself as someone who is a victim, basically. Even though we know, I mean, if you live in a Western country, you know for a fact that the media has to be one, if not the most powerful institution on there. And journalists are basically, you know, at the top of the chain almost. So I thought it was interesting how he managed to invert the roles to present himself as a victim. Okay, so he goes on then to blame the mainstream media. So as I mentioned earlier, he goes into this whole blame the media narrative, but he never goes in depth about it. So he said, for example, that the reason why French journalists were completely unable to predict Trump's victory is because every time they went to the United States to cover the election, literally all of them went to New York. instead of going, for instance, to the Midwest. So it wouldn't be surprising that when you go to, you know, New York, you would think that everybody would vote for Hillary. Yeah. So I thought it was interesting to present this kind of selection bias.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like any election coverage of New York, or I don't think I've ever looked at a poll of what the situation is in California, because it's just so obvious that it's going to be blue.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's, I don't know, it's just so amazing, the entire thing. Americans have gained so much by this. It's a victory unlike anything. I don't even know how to say it. It's just amazing. I think the liberals say it best, you know, with their kvetching.
So, yeah, yeah. By juxtaposing their kvetching to like how great we must feel, because we feel like the exact opposite, right? Yeah. We're not scared. We're energetic. We're optimistic. I mean, when Trump won, I stayed up all night, and I think at 8 in the morning after the day, I had to go to university, and sitting in class, I was talking to like the dude sitting next to me, and both of them were happy that Trump won because these are just normie dudes, right? These dudes are not a red pill, but they were really happy that Trump won because they said like, well, Trump is not perfect, right? Because they only know of Trump's character through the media. So they're like, yeah, Trump seems to be like a bit of a loud mouth, doesn't think before he speaks. But they said, you know, Hillary Clinton is a criminal, and they were really glad that she didn't get into power. So, you know, there's like just normies here in Germany signaling for Trump made me, you know, even more white pilled. But the media is like these leftists, they're just going into like a complete spiral of like a self-pity.
Yeah, it's incredible. And this is not completely related, but the contrast I saw in liberals before and after the election was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Before the election, all the liberals, when I said I was a Trump supporter, they thought, oh, pity, sorry, you know, I feel sorry for you. You're kind of dumb. You don't know what's going on. You're not down with the latest trends. You're such a stupid person. And I was like, I'll bite my teeth together and just, you know, I think he's going to win. Who knows? Yep. And these people are not worth debating with. You know, they're just disgusting. But whenever it came up, you know, they weren't afraid of my Trump view. They just laughed at me, essentially. But now they're not laughing so much anymore. Let me tell you, now they're angry. Now I got like family members on Facebook telling me, "You've put people in your family at danger." And I'm like, "Shit! Wow!"
Well, go on. I was just going to say, don't even know why are white people afraid? I mean, if I were to believe everything that Trump stands for, that they say, right, then like, if I'm a Muslim in America, all right, I don't want to put my name on a list, whatever.
Yeah, you might have to go back.
Why are all these white liberals that live in New York or whatever, why are they afraid?
Okay, so the narrative that I was told by this one cousin of mine who is actually a mud shark, disgustingly enough, I didn't even know this until after the election. Because I never talked to her or anything. But her narrative was that now that Trump has won, police are going to start killing niggers on traffic stops. It's like they're just going to pull over the black guy and just pop him. Not even check him or anything. Just, you know, just kill him. So they were legitimately afraid that her boyfriend was going to get pulled over and killed by a Trump-supporting cop any moment now. I was like, whoa, dude. I didn't know what to say. I just laughed. I couldn't take it seriously, and they got so butt hurt by it. Before the election, everybody just laughed at my views. Now they're not laughing. Now they're not laughing at anything. Now they're shit scared. It's beautiful.
They're not laughing now, yeah.
Yeah, they're not laughing now.
That Goebbels quote just keeps getting better.
Okay, we should do the next country. So either Germany or Finland, I think.
Did you have anything to finish up, Pusha?
Not really. Yeah, I mean, just one last quick thing is that how he goes into details to say that Trump is a buffoon, is an incompetent idiot, but some of his platforms are legitimate. So for instance, is the fact that he's not exactly pro-life, maybe he would keep some form of socialized care and whatever. And so he does this thing that leftists do, is that they are ready to compromise and to say, okay, so some of his platforms are legitimate, but it doesn't change the fact that we are the good guys, and so we should be the one in charge over all these people who voted for Trump. Mm. I mean, they're willing to let go of some steam, but not entirely.
They're pretty politically savvy in many ways. They know how to fight and twist their narrative around.
Yeah, they've been at this for a long time.
You want to go Arminius with Germany or?
All right. Well, thing that I.
It's time for Germany.
All right. Jawohl. Jawohl.
Just do it in German. The Americans are going to love it.
Okay. Also, ich habe ein paar Artikel durchgesucht. Einen aus dem Vereinigten gefunden.
No, dude, please.
Okay. I found. First, something that while I was looking through articles, now I did not do the most extensive research, as we know the talking points, right? I figured someone would have an article talking about how Trump is a monster. Every newspaper in Germany has an article like that. You know, Trump is a monster, Trump's an idiot. Some things that I saw is an article called Der Ernstfall, which translates to something like a very serious happening, essentially, the happening, written by Carsten Lufer. And that guy, he wrote like a 2-page article about how it's just a hit piece on Trump, you know, calling him a bad joke. The world is afraid of a reckless man with nukes, calling this whole thing an epic disaster, calling Trump a liar, saying it's empty populism that nobody really believes, except the stupid people. But as I said earlier, you know, somehow the idiots won out over the noble elite.
More black people voted for Trump than Romney, so I guess stupid people didn't get it.
In that case, I guess he did get more stupid people.
It's true. But stupid doesn't necessarily mean,
bad. Yeah. Bad. Yeah. I was also looking through some UK media to see if there's anything special. And something that I've also seen in the German media reflected in both is that there's sometimes talk about neoliberalism and them tying it to like the economy, right? Guardian article that I link in the show notes that's called Globalism is Dead and White Supremacy has Triumphed by Paul Mason. I mean, the headline says progressives must direct their energies to build an alternative to the failed neoliberal model. This is like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it when people talk about neoliberalism, it's not usually like about economics?
Well, neoliberalism is a kind of the model after which most Western mainstream parties have modeled themselves after, if they're not neocons.
Yeah.
So it goes with usually with a mixed economy. This is my perception, and it might be kind of wrong here, but this is what neoliberals in Finland are like. They're socially progressive. At least they present so in the centers of dildo worship, which are the big cities, their basis, voter basis, might not be so much, but they present or signal social liberalism and varying levels of fiscal conservatism, and it's like the absolute synthesis of the deal with the devil that Michel Foucault makes. So essentially, the left will not criticize monetary policy or trade deals, and the right will not criticize sodomy. So that's kind of what it is. And neoconservatism is not really that different. It's just that it's war hawkish and shills for the state of Israel.
Well, the way I've always been taught that neoliberalism is in contrast to Keynesianism, you know, like it's an economic thing. Keynesianism, more market control. Neoliberalism, more leaning towards free markets. And so what I was reading a little bit here, maybe I was just looking for too much esoteric meaning, but that these people are criticizing like a neoliberalist model, saying that we need more control in Germany, or European countries in general. So the same thing can't happen to us, you know, a populist getting elected.
That would seem to make sense, at least from their perspective.
It also depends on how you define the word liberal, because, I mean, for Americans, a liberal is basically a left-wing progressive, a social democrat, whereas in many countries of continental Europe, a liberal is a classical liberal, someone who is in favor of free markets, the rule of law, and small government. So there can be a confusion when you start to use language which is these kind of words who have different meanings. So, for instance, people in France who use the word neoliberal are usually old socialists, old Marxists, who are criticizing the left for not being in favor of seizing the means of production, for instance. That is the way we hear it. So it depends on the context who is saying.
The difference between liberal and libertarian is kind of inverted some places, because libertarianism is kind of the classical liberal in the States.
Yeah, but Europe doesn't even have that much of a use for the word libertarian. It's not, I don't see it being used that often, at least in mainstream politics.
Yeah, that's true. And in Germany, the Liberal Party is they describe themselves as liberals, but they are politically like the libertarians or more like the libertarians in the United States. You know, like they are a liberal in Europe, mostly refers to economic terms.
Yeah, but it just goes to show that the most important topic, just not to get bogged down with terminology, is the social conservatism versus the social liberalism. Because that's what really undermines a country. You can have 10 to 20% up or down in taxes, and, well, it's going to affect you, but it's not going to cripple your country. But allowing 20% Dindus or something, that will destroy your country. Or allowing 20% Muslim will destroy your country. So, and also, I don't know if we're 20% fag yet, but probably also that's going to affect the country somehow.
In fact, the medical bills of some people, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. In this article that I mentioned, The Happening, the one thing in this character assassination piece that I wanted to point out is that this guy who wrote it, Carsten Lufer, seems to be afraid that the United States will no longer get involved in Europe and the Middle East, which I find is an odd talking point I haven't heard before, being afraid that the United States will withdraw from the Middle East. It's like,
yeah, liberals are afraid of that. That's rich. That's freaking rich.
So. Yeah, but the right is always warmongering and the liberals are always anti-war.
Even when they go to war, they go to war for peace and flowers and rainbows.
Yes, and when they win the war by sending extremely K-selected warrior types...
the war by sending redneck Americans to fight for them, essentially.
Yeah, see, they win the war by brute force, and then they claim that they won the wars with their ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the one article that I did want to go into that a little bit more, it's essentially a listicle, right? Is that what it's called? A BuzzFeed article that's called, it's not from BuzzFeed, it's from the Bild newspaper, but it is like a BuzzFeed article, reads like one. It's called 11 Reasons Why Trump Won. Now, the Bild is the biggest newspaper in Germany, and a lot of people read it, but it does have a reputation for being not the smartest newspaper. So what is, I linked this article in the show notes, of course, too, it is in German, but it is interesting to look at it, how often they mention the Washington Post and the New York Times as their source. Like each one of these reasons, and we can get into like two or three of these, their source for this is something that the author has read on the Washington Post or the New York Times, which comes around to how I think that German media is covering the United States in general, is that they just have a guy watch CNN and write down some talking points and then write an article about that.
Yep, that sounds about right.
So what do we have here? There's one point that is about white men being really afraid and scared and stupid at the same time.
Of course.
Where in the article, it's just a little bit of text, but they let a graphic of they have a graphic on there that shows that most people with a college degree voted Clinton, and they put that picture there with little text to let the, you know, to let the picture speak for itself. Of so you make the connection. Hey, look, if you were go to college, you vote liberal, which is the smart thing to do. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know. I heard that among white males, more college-educated people went Trump, though. It's only among, like, college-educated women and white males together that it flipped into Hillary.
I think that didn't Trump win college-educated whites in general?
In general, yes, but if you isolated the males, I heard that he won the males.
Yeah, he won the college-educated males. Yes. He didn't win the college-educated white women.
Yeah, that's
and, yeah, but that was surprisingly close as well. That wasn't, I think that was 45-51 or something.
Yeah, yeah. So that point's obviously not valid. Then the second point that he's 11.
I was using that, by the way, to taunt my liberal friends. It's like, huh? It's super effective because they put so much stock into their education, even if it's liberal arts education. Like, yeah, I'm an academic. I have a degree in performance theater. And I'm one of the elites of society.
Oh,
shit. Fucking hell.
Yeah, so the second reason is that qualifications don't seem to matter, which was weirdly phrased in the article itself, but I think it's referring to that people don't care that Trump is not qualified for office. This is, they were grasping at straws for this article as we'll soon find out. They're already running out of reasons except calling Trump supporters stupid.
Yeah, yeah, but that's been the thing the entire way. Like, stupidity is the original sin in many ways. It's like, everybody on the right is stupid, everybody on the left is smart.
Yeah, but IQ tests are racist.
Yeah, IQ tests are racist. You can't say that anyone is born stupid or smart. They become stupid if they vote right wing. Like, that's like the definition of stupid. It doesn't, like, IQ, problem solving ability, is not a component of intellect anymore. It's how you vote that makes you stupid. If you can't understand that the faggot cause is the most important cause in our culture, then you're stupid.
Yep. That they see intellect like something from a role-playing game where, like, you know, you start with zero. Everybody starts with zero, and then as they go to college, you know, they get a little bit above 100. But if they are spawned in Africa, they only get up to 65. And then, you know, but I guess you get like some kind of debuff to your in score if you vote the right wing.
Yeah.
So the third point is Americans are angry with Obama, but there was no explanation given. So he says, like, it's the only quote from Trump that Obamacare's not good. And it's, I mean, this is a very short article. Each one of these points only has a little bit of text. Yeah. So anger with Obama. Then the fourth is right-wing radio, blogs, and websites. So maybe dog whistling to TRS and the alt-right Twitter accounts that have, summoned an ancient god to win the election. Then the fifth one is Trump managed to motivate the whites because, you know, like, he didn't care about the, it says something like he didn't care about the other groups of people. He only cared about the whites, which motivated them. Mm-hmm. And it does say the thing that it's a little bit gloating in the phrasing of the article. It's like, whites are still the minority, you know, whites still matter for now. So it's like, it's also referencing the demographic decline that,
it's going to become incredibly important for Americans to be able to, you know, suppress the minority vote from now on.
Yeah,
deporting the people who shouldn't be there, of course, but they probably didn't make up a huge amount. They probably didn't make up a huge amount of the vote in the swing states, though, maybe in California. But, you know, getting voter suppression laws in place so that only people with the agency to go vote actually can vote is going to be huge. And, like, they really need to get on the voter ID stuff. That's going
to
be
And America needs to deport essentially the population of Germany from its borders. You know, and so the sixth one was email scandal, which didn't say, you know, that's why Clinton lost. Mm-hmm. And it says something like, despite Clinton having a great personality, because of the email scandal. She didn't manage to to motivate enough people.
She had such a great personality there.
Wow. Yeah, she has a good character, but she did break federal law or something.
Wow. Okay, let's hurry through.
I'll go faster now. Then as the seventh point is the Democrats neglected minorities. The eighth one is that women didn't care for Clinton because they liked the alpha male Trump. And it brought up the stat that Clinton only has had 1% more voters in the women demographic than Obama in 2012. So, not that many women coming
up. The thing is, women want to be grabbed by the pussy. It feels good to them, apparently.
Trump had it right.
He probably has that grip where he goes straight for the G spot and just he gets the orgasm pretty quickly.
It's worth pointing out that only works if you're at least two of the following: tall, wealthy, and powerful. If you're a fat neckbeard who just crawled out under a rock and just heard that, don't go grabbing people.
Yeah, PSA. Don't grab strangers if you're not handsome. All right. The ninth one is Latinos didn't care. They didn't vote for anyone. The tenth one is the Electoral College. Oh. She won the popular vote, but America's system is so dumb.
I wonder why it was designed that way. Oh. Yeah, it's not like it didn't have a purpose, you know? It's not like that wasn't the reason for it to be there.
I mean, I heard it explained to me, right, that the Electoral College was put in by the founding fathers to stop tyrants from getting power. And if you ask me, that might have just have happened, you know? The founding fathers might have just, you know, I mean, they were smart men, you know?
They were.
Maybe they looked that far into the future and the system worked out exactly how they wanted it to.
Well, not exactly. They did, of course, omit some very important things, like white people only. But as it's been said many times, they took that for granted, that nobody would be that stupid.
Yeah, I don't think that the founding fathers thought about like the suicide they were in. You know, they never thought the nation would try to destroy itself.
It's not so much suicide, but I don't think they fathomed Jewish subversion. Like, it's hard to grasp without the internet. Because, like, a lot of us don't even realize the organized nature of the Jews, how well they're able to do all this.
Mm-hmm. And then the last point is that the third party stole the election. Like, if there hadn't been Jill Stein and Gary Johnson, Hillary would have won. Oh. Yeah, as I said, I didn't do that much research because there's nothing really. I mean, I looked at the articles, right? But I didn't write that many down on my list because it's just there's so much repetition here.
Yeah, I know. And it's just the delicious salt, the fact that they're kvetching. You wanna shoot your load, Barb?
Can I just add something before?
Phrasing.
I just wanted to say that what Arminius has read there, I think it's the definitive proof that, you know, journalism, it's not a serious job. I don't know if it ever was, but the fact that someone can call himself a journalist and produce so-called political analysis with a listicle, which probably holds on a single page about Trump won because he's mean. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, any fucker with 100 plus IQ can write something that would be better than this worthless shit. I mean, this is ridiculous.
No. That's what happens when the qualifications for being a successful journalist is writing the correct political opinions.
Yeah. Reiterating a narrative.
That's actually something that I've really come across in Finnish media, that the level of writing and just in terms of just pure skill of being able to write like good language, proper language, that has deteriorated, let alone the content.
High schoolers from 50 years ago would probably write better articles.
Oh, yeah.
By a long shot.
All right, Babut, tell us what the Finns think of the God Emperor.
So I didn't go for the articles that were straight from the election day, except for one, which just is kind of like a summary, has six bulleting points. And this is from the Ministry of Truth, which is our state media. Well, it's not really called the Ministry of Truth. It's called Ule. it's the Ministry of Truth. It's what the state wants you to think, quite literally. It starts off simply by stating that, okay, Trump took the swing states and took some of the unexpected states. Funnily enough, I was not expecting this. I was not expecting them to say this, that the Clinton did not actually give a statement during election night.
She didn't even give a speech.
Yeah, I think she was hitting the sauce pretty hard there. yeah. And then they go on about how the world is shocked and how everyone thought Clinton was going to win because of the polls, and how the European Union is going to gather all the European foreign ministers to an emergency meeting, and how all the hippies who are always quitching about global warming are having trouble breathing. And of course, the article has to mention that the Russian parliament gave Trump applause when they heard that he's won. So because of course Russia is evil, and anything Russia does cannot be good. Yeah. So if Russia supports Trump, then Trump has to be super turbo evil.
Yeah, this is something I read in the German media too, about how they just said things like Russian Prime Minister Putin was not unhappy with Trump winning, or like Russian is something, you know, it's like they say, like, okay, the Russian was happy about this, so you have to be really unhappy about this. It's like, you know.
That's one of the things that gives me the most hope or the most joy, is the fact that America and Russia is actually going to be really friendly now for once. Because it seems like that might actually break up a lot of the political alliances and stuff, and just make a lot of the old narratives. If America and Russia becomes good friends, then a lot of the bullshit we're being fed in the EU about Russia being this undemocratic, patriarchal society, it's going to have to come tumbling down a bit, and it's going to be really good, and things are going to just get shaken up and remade. So, yeah, the Russia stuff is great. It's like one of the best things. And of course, the complications with NATO and all of this. If Putin and Trump can get along, NATO becomes less of a necessity, and NATO kind of is a scam as it is right now. It's an excuse for European countries to opt out of doing anything, which is something I want to talk about a bit after Barb's done.
Yeah.
Yep.
The next point was that stock market had a bit of a hiccup, and the Mexican peso dropped down, what, 8.5%. And this is, of course, perfectly in line with what the media did with Brexit. Like, oh, there's going to be a market crash. But there's been no word that I've seen in the Finnish media that actually the American stock market is experiencing a slight boom after the first hiccup.
Yeah. I actually saw a guy on the forum who said that he was getting into some high risk investment, and that he was actually making quite a bit of money. And well, if we can, we should set up an alt-right investment manager. So I would give that guy money so he could invest. He could take a cut, you know, that's fine. He can make money off of me. But if he wants to invest my money, I'm down with that. Seriously. We need to get autists who are willing to sit and do the news analysis and make the risks. And yeah, I'd invest. I don't know. I would try. Because I feel like we are ahead, at least with the amount of news. Because we're a lot of people that like to talk about news. We're gathering news. We're presenting it to each other. We're processing it. What does this mean? We give the thoughts. You know, this is actually, I think, quite valuable information in many ways. I'm not going to say that it's perfect or anything. But for someone who has the, you know, the ability to put it all together and get the context of it, might be able to make some pretty informed decisions on where to invest. And I don't know, he seemed to be pretty successful, so it was an interesting read on the forums.
Well,
yeah, the last two points are just they mentioned that the Republicans got both the Senate and the House, and then how that's going to make passing laws easier, supposedly. We don't yet know how hard the Cox are going to fight back. And, of course, the last point is titled Brexit, Trump, what next? And they mention, of course, France and Marine Le Pen, and they put a very, very big emphasis on populism and nationalism, how that's a wave sweeping over Europe. And, of course, it has to be mentioned at a very, very vehemently that the Front National is far right and how that's evil. The next article is from the country's largest newspaper called Helsingin Sanomat, which is really just Helsinki Times. And it's quite kvetchingly named that we are now living in the time of Trump Putin, and being anxious is understandable. And it's not actually
being
an article.
Hopeful
it's
is understandable.
Yeah. This is actually from today, which is 19th of November. And it's not an article, it's an editorial. So they actually had a city official, and he's, of course, a social democrat, which, well, might give you some clue as to what's coming. And this article or editorial, it has a very, very weird narrative, because his main talking point is authoritarian capitalism and how this new, he calls it new globalism, is a terrible thing, and how Russia has Putin, India has Narendra Modi,
Indian guy, yeah.
Yeah, China has Xi Jinping, and United States has Donald Trump, and how Britain has voted to leave the European Union.
Could be a great time for Western hegemony or Jewish Western hegemony to end.
Yeah, and he's very worried that the 1990s idea of the end of history and the victory of liberal democracy. Well, it's over now. So his great point here is that authoritarian capitalism and xenophobia and hate speech and the new normal that bases its power on capitalism and xenophobia is sweeping across the world, and how the old leftist parties are not exactly capable of fighting it, and that we need new solutions. Well, he's of course kind of signaling that Bernie Sanders should have gotten the nomination, because Hillary Clinton wasn't quite left-wing enough.
That's very, very normal.
Yeah, and he finishes with that this is actually not a crisis of authoritarian capitalism taken over, that it's actually a crisis of cultural values, and how it's terrible that the wealthy North can just build a wall and prevent the Southern Hemisphere from walking in and taking all the shit.
You mentioned values, and I did see something on the day after the election. I didn't save it, but there was some articles and some politicians signaling that now Europe has to become the defender of Western values. You know,
against America. I think the writer was a Jew as well.
Oh, oy vey, the American rednecks are taking over America again. Now they're going to eradicate every non-liberal. Not every liberal, sorry.
Oops. Yeah, oops. But if only, man.
If only.
If only.
I've said this many times, but it's quite hilarious to see how, like, the entire world perceives America as these dangerous rednecks with pickup trucks and big guns that are so masculine and so intolerant, and if you cross them, they will lynch you.
Yeah.
I wish that was the case.
It's pretty funny how in Europe, we learn mostly about America through their media, right? But the American media, it teaches us in Europe that Americans are stupid and, you know.
Racist?
And racist rednecks, you know. So, you know, you have this cultural empire in America, and you use it just to make your own people look dumb. I mean, we obviously know why this is the case, right?
Yeah,
because it's not actually Americans in charge, but...
it's pretty much like that symptom of it in itself is pretty much confirmation that it's not really Americans. Because Americans, if they were in charge of their media, they would not be promoting Americans as dumb to the rest of the world. They would be proud. They would present America in a respectable light. But the American media is not doing that. And, you know, it's clearly moving against American interests.
I mean, the proof that you are right is that we only have to compare the current media to the media of 50 or 60 years ago, when it was actually Americans in charge. I mean, their media was completely different. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to compare, and I mean, something has changed. We know what changed, but yeah.
So I'm going to start with the region. Norwegian.
Well, I had one more, which was about... which was a newer article, which was about the nominations that Trump has for his cabinet, and they kvetch about Jeff Sessions and how he's a horrible racist from Alabama, and they actually had to add a piece of extra information to the article after it was posted, so that people would actually understand why the thing he said was bad, evil, wrong thing. He called a black person a boy, which is, of course, terrible. So Jeff Sessions is an evil racist, and the guy called Mike Pompeo, who was supposed to be his... he was going to be a CIA man.
Yep.
And he's a Tea Party guy, and that was, of course, horrible and terrible.
Oh, not the Tea Party.
Yeah, they're all racists. And... finally, the hold on. What's the American term
for what?
Well, anyway, it's a military advisor or some security advisor, and Trump was going has hinted at Michael Flynn, who is a very has been very radical in his rhetoric and presenting a very very non-liberal view of war. And has said some very, very politically incorrect things about Muslims. The guy was is a security and intelligence advisor in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he was he led the DIA in from 2012 to 2014, but he was fired because he had disagreements with the Obama administration. So this guy is, I'd say, a proper shitlord, and like a proper general, a proper warrior. And the tone of the article is that this guy is apparently a complete loony, a complete nut, perfectly in line with what he does. And this one also mentions that this gentleman, Michael Flynn, has been on the Russia Today channel, which means he's a Russian plant.
Yeah, he's KGB. Yeah. Yeah, I mean... Michael Flynn, he wears the badge of honor of being called an Islamophobe. And he, the German media just called him angry. The angry general.
Is the Finnish media focusing mostly on him being pro-Russia?
Not necessarily.
That would be a Finnish stereotype, worrying always about Russia.
No, because the Finnish approach to Russia is slightly different than the... American neocon warmongering type anti-Russianist. Finns have their own historical grievances with Russia and own ways to deal with Russia, and the absolute zero tolerance line that seems to be the norm or the expected norm in American Democrat Party's line is it seems out of place. So it doesn't work, but Russia is a kind of a boogeyman, and they do use it, but it's not the primary thing. They go with the Trump is racist, Trump's appointments are racist, and that the average Americans are rioting in the streets, and that's sign that Trump is evil and should not be president, and. I find it really strange that German and French medias have had much, much more about...
bigger countries mean more media, or maybe potentially... Yeah, maybe we can hope better journalists, I don't know, but... might well be.
Yeah, well, they certainly seem to have better journalists, because there's been no mention of white dispossession in Finnish media. None whatsoever.
It would stand to reason. Like, the Norwegian media, I think, is horribly bad, but we're 5 million people, meaning that the idiots who worm their way into the media are probably... they're pretty bad. Like, at least in Germany and France, where there are more people, there can be some competition between even the most incompetent of journalistic worms out there.
Yeah, but how much is it competition to who can signal the best of being on the globalist side? you know, we might just get the best as in the worst.
But they have
to
know how to read and write at the very least. In Norway, sometimes it seems like they are actually using Google Translate.
Okay.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah,
that was the case, because it's. But is that a segue into Norwegian? Can I start my?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so I had three articles, and the first one is just pure salt. It's from November the 15th. Sorry, so it's not right after the election. Somebody actually sat down and was like thinking about this, and it's called Trump wants to make America white and male dominated again. It's like, I wish. But which is kind of true. It's like the liberals, what they fear is like, I want a world where everything the liberals want goes wrong. That would just be so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
The likeness of the fascist movement in Europa in the 19... we spell it Europa, but it's, of course, Europe in English. In the early 1900s, is striking. When fascism comes to America, it's going to be called Americanism. Americanism. That's a dangerous word, guys. Can't have any of this Americanism.
Yeah, we don't want Americans to be American.
No. Oh, by the gods, no. Americanism is a bad thing, guys.
Especially in America.
In America, yeah. It's good in Mexico, you know. Mexico and America should be one country.
It's good when the Iraqis have some Americanism in them. But, you know, it's really bad when the Americans do.
Yeah. Trump's hatred for women was unveiled. The subtitles in this article, I can't go through the article because it's pure shit. But it's just so hilarious to see every amount of, like, every ounce of salt that is pouring out of this woman. Delicious. I think I've been overdosing on salt. I actually had soup yesterday and... I could feel that there was just too much soup, no salt in my soup, and I was feeling really bloated.
Yeah, I have to drink like 6 liters of water a day.
Yeah,
to stay hydrated with all the salt.
For a woman, it's very important to be liked. I don't actually know what she's getting at here, but I think she's aiming at the fact that women were coerced into voting Trump by their white male. Siblings that, you know, women would be ostracized if they didn't vote for Trump, and that, you know, and that it's not really that women actually wanted Trump, because women are nice people, but the fact that, you know, they're white male siblings,
they were pressured
into voting Trump
despite the vote being anonymous. Obviously, it's everybody. Yeah,
I mean, at this point, this is clinical delusion. I mean, if you have to say that they didn't want to vote for Trump, they were forced into it, I mean, you have to be at completely desperate. I mean, if you're a white liberal woman, you have to be on edge constantly because you don't understand. It shouldn't have happened, and yet it did. So you're finding every retarded excuse you can get.
Yep. And another funny thing from Norway. Norway is bad. It's like, it's bad in terms of signally. It's like, it's a step below Sweden in terms of how much we signal. And it's, of course, a step below Sweden in how many people we have, whatever. But the fact that Norway, like, as a government, gave money to the Clinton Foundation. Like, a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation.
And wow.
Yeah, we did. It's like huge amounts of support for Clintons. And it's completely dildo. But after the election, they're like, oh, shit. We put the money in the wrong horse. So now the money to the Clinton Foundation is ebbing off.
So it's like the Norwegian government has been giving money to the Clinton Foundation for just now or for some time?
Since 2007, they have been, I think, given almost $100 million to the Clinton Foundation from the Norwegian government.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of money.
What fables did they buy? What happened here?
I honestly don't, like, I'm not too well versed. I can imagine it being signaling money. It's like, we're giving...
I don't think so. Because it's like...
Well, what could they gain?
That's what I'm asking. It's like the Clinton Foundation. When I hear someone gave money to the Clinton Foundation, I'm thinking, all right, they wanted a government position. They wanted some kind of favor from the U.S. government.
Well, Norway has its last prime minister going into NATO, and he's the president of NATO. So Norway is definitely in bed with the globalist government, the New World Order, whatever globalist shit going on.
That's something.
It's something. I don't know if that was like bought and paid for, or if he was just the best signally goy out there. Might well be.
Yeah, obviously. Don't want to get too conspiratorial, but whenever I hear someone giving money to the Clinton Foundation, my ears
pierce. And $100 million.
And $100 million. Yeah, that's a bit much.
Over a 10-year period, to be fair. So it's only $10 million a year, but still.
Yeah, but the time period makes it even more suspicious, because it's like, if they just gave it in the last 6 months, then there must have been like Norwegian politicians really afraid of what the biased media tells them. But since it's like, over the time where Clinton was Secretary of State, thinking like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah. Supposedly it was given in like the name of helping childbirth or helping with death during childbirth for mothers and kids in countries with high mortality rates. But that's a plain lie, because we know that Clinton money doesn't go to anything, really. It just goes to Clinton.
I mean, maybe the Norwegian government was just scammed,
That might
well be.
Maybe
it was just a big scam.
It might well be. I think Norwegian government is pretty stupid, but I don't know. No. It might be malicious as hell.
So. Well, I think it's entirely possible that the Norwegian government really thought they were doing something good, quote-unquote good. They shouldn't be putting money in that anyway, but they probably thought that, okay, this is Hillary Clinton, the great, great philanthropist and a great American politician who is a real progressive. If we give her money, we will make the world better. It's entirely possible people have just been scammed.
It says in the article that we are amongst the most generous people. One of the only few countries that is more generous than us is Saudi Arabia.
Well, you're in good company.
Norway's in good company. Oil money going straight to Clinton. Beautiful.
That's also an interesting fact. I mean, my mind is racing with these conspiratorial thoughts now.
Yeah, I can't even. I can't get into the conspiracy, but I just can't get out of the humiliation and the ridiculousness of Norway giving money to this witch and I just can't fathom what it's for. All I know is
in an effort to out-signal Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit. All I know, and I think this is pretty much a fact, is that the Norwegian people do not like globalism. They do not like the EU. They do not like globalism in general. But the politicians, they are selling out. It's like it's a huge divide between the Norwegian people and the Norwegian politicians. The Norwegian politicians, they're selling out to the EU, they're selling out to NATO, they're selling out to everything. Like, the Norwegian people want their own home guard, they want everything like that. And just after the election, I could see the second it was announced, all of these people came out of the woodwork and was like, yep, now it's time to actually have a home guard again, because Trump said about NATO is that we need to start, contributing. And the moment he wins, everybody's like coming out of the closet on Facebook saying like, yep, this is good. This means military Norway is not only going to be five airplanes helping NATO bomb. It's actually going to mean soldiers again, which would be great because having a military and having people who it's probably one of the biggest traditional conservative environments where men actually get to be men. And that's been completely killed. Like, the fact that American military has taken over everything in Europe, maybe not in Europe, but in Norway at least, we hardly have an army anymore. And the fact that's the biggest white pill for me is that Trump coming out and saying that everybody has to do their fair share of NATO means Norway's going to have a military community again.
And I like that too. Like, that the institution of the military is so important for the development of men, It's just good to have. And also in the culture of the country, it's good to have a strong military, have a parade once in a while, makes people patriotic.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't, what I think Trump said about it, it's just, you know, everybody pay your fair share. So I could see countries just paying their fair share of NATO and then that's it, instead of spending it on their own military.
Mm, but that would be bad.
But hey, I mean.
But even if that is what the politicians immediately do, well, one thing, the money is going to have to come from somewhere. They're going to have to remove money from some program. And I'm going to guess it's going to come from foreign aid, because foreign aid is kind of it's a thing you do when you're not afraid of where the money's going. It's a signaling money. So foreign aid, I think, is going to get cut. I think a lot of other programs are going to get cut so they can fund the NATO requirements. But even if it goes mainly to paying America, it's going to give a lot of ammunition to political parties and political platforms that want to run on a pro-Norwegian military. You know, it's like the parties that are actually have been saying this for a very long time are now going to be vindicated. And I think the Norwegian people are going to have a much easier time rationalizing these parties' stances. And in Norway, that's the Center Party. And I know in Finland, the Center Party is a criminal organization. But in Norway, the Center Party is actually pretty decent. They seem to be like the good party right now. The most anti-EU. But yeah. The last article I wanted to mention was just that the president of NATO, who is the ex-prime minister of Norway, had a good conversation with Trump. So it's not really salty. It's just Trump and him having a chat about the fact that NATO needs to work better. And it's not anything revolutionary. It's just confirming that, you know, Trump is going ahead with his promises of making NATO get shaped up. And I hope that Americans all over really pressure the NATO thing, because NATO is so detrimental to Europe in general. And I really hope that this comes through and we get our military communities back. That would be huge.
I did see, there hasn't been much talk from German politicians with Trump, but they all have said things like, you know, we're gonna, you know, Trump, you know, you have to be careful. Like, Trump, if you become a dictator, you know, watch out. Watch out from Europe might get you. Watch out, America.
No.
The European Union will band together to stop the regime.
Oh, my God. It's like,
can you imagine the state of military saying, going to war with America? What a disaster.
That is like America and Russia coming together once more to fight off Germany.
Yeah, I think the European flotilla might get somewhere a little past Ireland and then get blown the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just nothing there in European military right now. I mean, the French have an alright military. I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean, special forces in Scandinavia, I hear, are pretty good. And
well, the special forces is like the only thing that hasn't been removed. Like, special forces will always be good because they get the very best. They get, like, top-level athletes, you know. That's essentially what they do. People who go into the special forces have to be the cream of the crop. You can't afford to have bad special forces. They are the best. And I've heard from America that they're always white, which is a very big white pill. The fact that the best are always going to be white. The best warriors, the best thinkers, the best everything.
Well, obviously, I mean, to be in special forces, not only have to be physically in peak condition, you also have to be a little bit smart, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, it would be pretty funny to see. Yeah, can you imagine, like, Merkel is threatening Trump with sanctions or military intervention? It's like, what a joke that would be.
That would be
I can almost picture, like an American press official just leaning into the camera and saying, "Bring it."
Yeah, I mean, I don't Trump think just, that's some heavy delusion on the liberals' part, thinking that anyone would actually go along with it, or that there is any chance of a victory against America.
I guess that's something that happens when you don't ever think about what war actually means, and you know, when you don't ever read about what the military, what shape it is in, you know, like. You might think, like, all right, the population of Europe is a little bit bigger than the population of America. Maybe we can stop them. But what's that, you know? We don't have soldiers. It's nothing. It's really nothing here. I mean, what,
more
the UN?
Importantly, we don't have any means of reaching America.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no boat. Yeah. There's no boats. I mean, there's only a couple of ships, and yeah. I mean, the what's the makeup of the UN peacekeepers? Isn't that mostly Pakistanis, or am I misinformed? Because they're not gonna, you know.
Are we petering out here? Are we closing in on low energy levels that we need to terminate the show?
Well, I'd like to just point out that the best salt in Finland was not from the media, but it was on Twitter right on election night and the day after. Some of it was quite delicious.
Well, now begins the reconquest of European politics. So every European out there needs to step up the meme game, get the alt-right memes down to Europe or into
Twitter
European
memes,
languages.
Facebook memes.
Everything. We need it all. We need Norwegian Pepes. We need Swedish Pepes. We need, I don't know, do Germans have Pepes?
I'm really not in the meme loop of Germany. I don't know what's hip. The fuck? But
do the French have any memes?
Yep. Yeah, we do.
Pepe seems like a French, could be a French meme, but it's like maybe Italian.
I mean, yeah, it could work. I mean, people are trying to, you know, do what we did with Trump to do it with Marine Le Pen. So they're trying to basically translate the memes from English to French. So it's kind of funny. But we have our own memes as well.
Smash the patriarchy, Marie Le Pen.
Yeah. I mean, we could do that, right? First woman president in France.